residential buildings that are still racing counter the clock in order to destroy as much as possible of the Palestinian residential areas and buildings in the eastern side of Khan Yunis city and the eastern side of At-Tufah neighborhood as well. And it's worth mentioning that over the last couple of hours, the Israeli occupation forces have issued sweeping evacuation orders for the Palestinian people in the eastern side of Gaza city, demanding them to evacuate and move immediately to the areas that they are still claiming they are safe. However, those areas are still, as you know, exposed to more cruel and vehement attacks of the Israeli occupation forces. Once again, this record of the Palestinian people and this death toll of the Palestinian casualties left by the Israeli occupation forces is still not final, and because it is more likely to rise at any moment, as the Israeli occupation forces are still bombing and hammering different parts of Gaza Strip.
Thank you, Moti. Stay safe there, pal. Appreciate that comprehensive update. Moti Abu Musab joining us from central Gaza. And now the Gaza-based Palestinian resistance groups continue deadly operations against invading Israeli forces, inflicting heavy casualties and losses on them. Israeli media has admitted at least three of the regime's soldiers were killed and four others seriously or moderately wounded on Monday. According to the regime's media, an anti-tank missile struck an armored personnel carrier in the Gaza Strip, causing casualties. The Al-Qassam Brigades, that's the military wing of Hamas, had released a statement earlier saying its fighters used a Yassin missile to target Israeli armored personnel carrier. Meanwhile, the ongoing Gaza genocide continues to take a heavy psychological toll on regime troops, with another Israeli soldier taking his life at a military base in occupied Golan Heights. This fatality marks now the 15th suicide among Israeli forces since the beginning of the year. Despite regime's claims of weakening the resistance in Gaza, new operations prove the Palestinian fighters continue dealing heavy losses to occupiers. And now a ceasefire has taken hold in the Syrian city of Suweida after 2 days of deadly clashes. That, according to Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, a defense minister of the HCS-led regime, says ceasefire was reached after an agreement with Suweida's notables and dignitaries. Now, HCS forces began withdrawing from Suweida province after entering the area to end clashes that killed over 100 people. Meanwhile, the Israeli military targeted Suweida, hitting a number of areas in the southern province. Now, since the fall of Syria's former government, concerns have been growing over the safety of minorities under the HCS-led regime headed by Abu Mohammed al-Jilani. And now joining us from another story from our Tehran studios is Mr. Naji Chenani, a West Asia affairs expert. Mr. Chenani, welcome to the conversation. Pleasure to have you, sir. So tell us what has been happening in the Syrian city of Suweida and all the parties involved.
And the audience, thank you for inviting me. Let me tell you, before answering your question, let me give you an explanation about the situation and conditions and the demography of Suweida itself. This city is one of the most important bases of Druze community in Syria. And even in the beginning of Syria's crisis in 2011, this was one of the regions rose up to the previous government, and they had criticism. And after the new interim government led by Jolani and Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, they had demands. One of the most important of them is to guarantee their safety. There have been some promises by the new government regarding their security. The second condition was that all of the security forces should be from locals and not from outside. One of the problems dealing with the regime declared by them as Takfiri. So one of the problems was that through different means they had compromised with them and even accompanied them even on the surface, but they never trusted them, and they said that as long as there's no constitution by the Syrian government, the freedom and the situation of minorities won't be guaranteed, and they cannot depend on that. They cannot trust promises vowed by the new government. And on the other hand, the Israeli regime, the Zionist regime, entered the situation They claim that they're supporting the Druze minority, and it has there's a long-standing precedent by the Zionist regime using the Druze community as a leverage. Some of the Druze members are in the Israeli military, and in response to what is said as Druze pressure within the Israeli military, they have tried to catch the trust and to catch the support of the Druze community. And what's going on right now, what we are witnessing, and the clashes that you see, some of the pictures being aired on press TV, they say that they prove that the Israeli military is intervening, and in support of the Druze community, they are bombarding some of the weapons by HTS-led regime, and they try to somehow announce them as a minority supported by them, and to portray them as a minority supported by them. But everybody knows that this is just a leverage by the Israeli military, and the HTS-led regime tries to capture that region entirely and completely. Another point is that after the rise of Hayat al-Tahrir al-Sham, the Druze community in the region, specifically in Soweida, never ever accepted the new flag and recognized the flag of HTS-led regime, and they only recognized their own themselves, the flag of themselves with their particular colors. It may have increased clashes.
Thank you for joining us on the program, Mr. Naji Chenani. Stay safe. That's Mr. Naji Chenani joining us out of our Tehran studios, West Asia Affairs Expert. Meanwhile, foreign ministers of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization have held a general meeting with the Chinese President Xi Jinping ahead of an SCO summit, which is set to take place Wednesday. High-level ministerial meeting took place in the capital, Beijing. Among participants, Iran's foreign minister, Abbas Araghchi. On the sidelines of this event, Araghchi also held a separate bilateral meeting with President Xi. Speaking upon his arrival in Beijing, the top Iranian diplomat noted the SCO is evolving beyond its initial regional scope and increasingly asserting itself on the global stage.
The Shanghai organization is gradually expanding its presence on the global stage, moving beyond the regional sphere step by step. It has placed a wide range of issues on its agenda, both in economic as well as political and security domains.
Araghchi added the upcoming summit will finalize development strategy of the SCO and member states, in particular across key areas including energy and trade. Elsewhere in his remarks, Araghchi welcomed organization's condemnation of recent U.S. and Israeli acts of aggression against Iran and its nuclear sites. He emphasized nearly all regional and international organizations denounced that aggression. A memorial has been held for media workers martyred in Israeli strike on the headquarters of the Islamic Republic of Iran, broadcasting the IRIB on June 16th. A ceremony attended by top officials, cultural figures, and journalist families was held at the Bilal Mosque in the Iranian capital.
At Bilal Mosque in Tehran, grief and gratitude fills the air as hundreds gathered to honor the memory of two martyrs, Nima Rajapur and Masume Azimi, who lost their lives in the Israeli regime's missile strikes on IRIB headquarters glass building.
My husband was a committed journalist. He was always ready to sacrifice his life for the greater good. He stood up for what was right, not for personal or material gain.
Senior government officials and figures from across IRIB's ranks attended the ceremony, paying tribute to the colleagues who made the ultimate sacrifice.
The martyrs of IRIB are a clear testament to the atrocities committed by the Israeli regime and was broadcast live before the eyes of millions. They gave their lives, but the truth they stood for will never be forgotten. This building, once known as the Glass Building, is now a mirror reflecting their courage and sacrifice. It has become a national emblem of defiance.
Portraits of the two martyrs stand tall, sending a strong message of resilience in the face of aggression. Nima Rajapur and Masume Azimi represent the quiet force behind the news, voices that never sought the spotlight, but remain steadfast in their pursuit of truth and public awareness.
According to Articles 48 and 52 of the Additional Protocol to the Geneva Conventions of 1949, which safeguard civilians during armed conflict, including journalists, any attack on members of the press not engaged in combat is strictly prohibited and constitutes a war crime. But this attack will not silence the truth.
The Israeli strike on IRIB's headquarters, known as the Glass Building, has left behind shattered walls, but not shattered resolve. The charred building and the remains of once busy newsrooms stands as a reminder that Nima Rajapour and Masoumeh Azimi are not just martyrs, they are national heroes. Here at the shattered IRIB Glass Building, the sacrifice of our martyred colleagues echoes. This is a symbol of resilience that stands tall, a testament to a voice that will never be silenced. Gisum Shahmadi, Tehran.
Thank you for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
Know your troubled story, the tales full of sadness and woe, but I believe you smile again. You see, I know the pain you're just like you before, and I know where it's leading. Hold on,
there's nothing standing in your way. You can be strong,
so show the world what you can do.
Like you'll be unconscious. Sometimes it's better to be alone than to be with the bad crowd. Preserve your mind and feed it. Nourish what it is you have inside. Use it in the right way.
There's nothing standing in your way. You can be strong.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salam, dear brother. Salam, dear sister. Thank you very much for joining us. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. In this episode, we're going to speak about the role of women in Karbala.
Ya Umm al-Masa'ib, ya
Zainab, eloquent, vibrant Zainab. Zainab, Zainab, brave, defiant Zainab. Zainab, Zainab, silent, siren Zainab.
Today is Tuesday, 19th of Muharram, 1447 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 24th of Tir, 1404 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 15th of July, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As the ritual of this program, we open Holy Quran and we listen to verses 6 to 14 of chapter Al-Fajr.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi'ad.
Have you not considered how your Lord dealt with Ad?
Iram dhatil 'imad.
With Iram, who had lofty pillars.
التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد.
The likes of whom had never been created in the land.
وثمود الذين جابوا الصخر بالواد.
And with Thamud, who carved out the rocks in the valley.
وفرعون ذي الأوتاد.
And with Pharaoh, owner of the stakes.
الذين طغوا في البلاد.
All of whom oppressed within the lands.
فأكثروا فيها الفساد.
And increased therein the corruption.
فصب عليهم ربك سوط عذاب.
So your Lord poured upon them a scourge of punishment.
إن ربك لبالمرصاد.
Indeed, your Lord is in observation.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
A tradition from the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny, says that on his way to the north of Arabia, riding on horseback to the Battle of Tabuk, he reached the Valley of Thamud and ordered others to make haste because they were in a cursed land. Undoubtedly, the Thamud had an advanced civilization with grandiose cities in their time, but the descriptions written about them are exaggerated and mythical. For example, some commentators have written that they had 1,700 cities all made of stone.
Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya
Today we're going to speak about the role of women in Karbala. The presence of the family of Imam al-Hussein in Karbala was crucial. In fact, its members have not only spread the message of Ashura, but they made the enemies helpless in front of them. As the soldiers of Yazid were rebuked by everyone, even by their families, in Islam it's not just the men who have to participate in social activities, but also the women have to take part in the defense of truth and oppose tyrants. Lady Zainab and the other women of the family of Imam al-Hussein, by spreading the message of Ashura, fulfilled their duty. If they had not done so, the message would not have come to us, especially considering the power of Umayyads in spreading news in their favor. Sheikh Azhar Nasser.
We come to Ar-Rabab. Ar-Rabab, the beloved wife of Imam al-Hussein. What can I say about this woman? A woman who was immersed in the love of the family of the Prophet. A woman who raised a daughter for Imam al-Hussein named Sukaina, who is the mother of Abdullah. Imam al-Hussein loved this woman. And I'm not just talking about the emotional love that exists between husbands and wives. It's something deeper than that. Imam al-Hussein loved her because she was a woman of God. And Ar-Rabab, she loved Imam al-Hussein with every atom of her being because he was a man of God. Their love for each other, which was rooted in love of Allah, was so strong that Imam al-Hussein, he composed a short poem expressing his love for Ar-Rabab. Brothers and sisters, wallah, and I'm on the minbar of Imam al-Hussein. The personality of Imam al-Hussein is a mu'jiza. To have someone who is the most masculine of men, a man of all men, who's a lion in the battlefield, but at the same time, there is this softness to him with women and children. It's amazing. It's something that we have to learn.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day, from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn. It is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah.
So when we look at her character, Lady Zainab's character, as an icon and a role model, we understood that she was once confronted by a motley and unreliable faction, yet she faced them with great courage. This is just one example of why she is an exemplary woman in history. Such a woman cannot be considered weak. Her faithful and feminine nature revealed itself in the most difficult of situations. She is a role model for all great men and women around the globe. Zainab, peace be upon her, presented a deep analysis of the problems. The story of Zainab al-Kubra's life is a tangible event, Moreover, she played a brilliant role in making the enemies, who had apparently won the battle and slain all their opponents, feel disgraced at their own base. She branded them with permanent shame and turned their supposed victory into a defeat. That's what Zainab al-Kubra did. She proved that it's possible to turn feminine morality and modesty into glory and great jihad. What is the philosophy of Aza of Hussein, or the mourning ceremonies for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein? These mournings in the commemorating the event of Ashura is an important institution, and we have to ensure that it is kept alive so as to cultivate and nurture Islamic conscience in each one of us, and that our children and their descendants remain committed to the cause of Imam al-Hussein. We must never lose sight of the fact that while the form of Azai Hussein may reflect the local culture, the essence of Azai Hussein must always be remembrance of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein and our rededication to his cause. There is always the danger that if the form appears to be inharmonious to the local norms and consequently incomprehensive to the young generation, the substance might gradually lose its significance. The fabric of the substance depends upon the acceptability of the form.
What does he say about al-Rabab? He says, لَعَمْرُكَ إِنَّنِي لا أحب دارا تحل بها سكينة والرباب. Imam al-Hussein says, don't blame me. He says, I swear by you, by your life, that I love a house. I love a house in which in it is Sukaina and Rabab. And he says, I am willing to give all my wealth to these two. And let no one blame me for that. Love. All rooted in the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this woman, can you imagine how she felt when she lost Imam Hussein? The same Hussein that she built a life with. She composed a poem after the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein. And I'll just read the English for you. She says about Imam al-Hussein, for me, you were like an unshakable mountain in which I found protection. And she says to him, and you looked after us with mercy and religious conviction. Now who is there for the orphans and for those who are destitute? And who will give shelter to the impoverished and make them needless? And then look at what Rabab says. I swear by Allah, I shall not desire to have another husband after you until I am covered between the sand and the earth.
We ask you, dear brother and sister, to remember us in your prayer, the light moments with your Lord. Thank you very much, and may Allah accept all your good deeds and azadaris and mourning gatherings for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Peace be upon him. Thank you for listening to today's special, and fi amanillah.
Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من، این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
When you travel to a historical city, the goal is not just to visit museums and beautiful monuments, but you want to mix with the locals and learn about their traditions and culture. In recent years, many historical houses in Iran have turned to accommodation places, which are called Bumgardi. These are neither hotels nor hostels. They are local traditional houses that provide the opportunity for their guests to meet with locals and live like locals, even for a short time. Nar Titi is the first house we visited, a beautiful place in the small town of Taft, with several traditional elements. An Iranian Zoroastrian couple owns the house. Traveling also means doing activities that we would not have done elsewhere. Each night, all the travelers who stay in this cozy place meet with the owners of the house, drink tea, and eat freshly picked pomegranate from the backyard. And so, they can experience a little different trip and realize that we all share the same fundamental values and same objectives. We're all part of the same planet, and this makes us stay connected.
Staying at these kinds of places adds to one's understanding of the world and understanding of people. It is something which gives you an understanding that all of us are the same. We're all people. We're much more similar than we are different. And when you start taking governments and other things out of the situation, it's just we can enjoy being with each other and understanding each other and learning about each other.
Another differentiating element of the house is a wall full of memories of those who stayed a while in this place. A very interesting wall that takes you to a journey around the world.
Une nuit dans cette maison est particulièrement une expérience particulièrement enrichissante puisque ça permet de partager ces expériences entre les différents voyageurs qui se croisent ici.
In Iran, when a guest or loved one leaves our house, we accompany him or her to the door and throw water to show we want him or her to return very soon. With this compassion, we left that beautiful place to discover other local guest houses. The second place is the House of Baran, which means rain in Farsi, a beautiful adobe house that truly represents the city of Yazd. A very simple house, but artistically decorated and perfectly designed with traditional Persian elements that constantly reminds you of the peaceful spirit of Iranians. A beautiful house with very positive energy. There's a logic behind the location of every piece in decorating this guest house. Some of these elements are symbolic and some others are still functional.
The house has lots of interesting features for me as a visitor. So Abbas, the owner of this guest house, had to adjust the stairs and make them more comfortable for us, people of modern age, to be able to walk down. Because apparently, back in the old days, they were building these stairs very high. The underground room, and there is about 15 to 20 degrees Celsius temperature difference, comparing it to upstairs. So making it a perfect room to chill and maybe take a nap during the hot days of summer. Also during the cold days of winter, this is going to be a very warm room and area of the building. Few steps down and tiny little room even gets cooler. Ideal, perfect place to keep your fruits and vegetables during the hot days of summer. Natural cooling system. You know why? Because it's connected to the wind tower room.
There is always a time to say goodbye to even the most beautiful things in this world. What you take from that location or moment is usually what you see or experience towards the end. An unforgettable taste with a beautiful color and very exciting recipe create an experience that I will take with me from Baran Guest House. The exciting thing about all these traditional guest houses is the fact that they're all different in some ways. One is famous for its traditional elements, one is known for its design and decorations, and the other has some very moving stories about the people who lived there, the people who run it now, their families and their relatives. Local people of different regions of Iran, full of love and passion, the most hospitable hosts that I have ever seen in my life. Jahangard Guest House is one of the few places that you can have a unique experience of meeting local elders, hear their stories, and learn about their experiences.
One of the benefits of staying at local guest houses is to have a chance to have this first-hand experience of seeing local handicrafts being made. You see the whole process, and you have a chance to see the craftsman who's behind this precious product, behind making this precious product.
And I really enjoy interacting with people, talking to them, and of course, learning from them.
One thing is to hear or imagine how life was back in the old days, especially inside these gorgeous traditional guest houses. Another thing is to live the life of those people and those dates. It might be some very simple acts, or even sometimes symbolic, but they definitely worth the try. It feels amazing. Shahryar Azimi for Iran.
Cause you mean everything. Hear you talking when you're sleeping. Reality, know you're going through hardship. And I know that you're scared, but you don't need to worry, cause Allah is there. Ooh, oh, I will never let you go. You're my heart, my life, my soul. And the choices that we make, we gotta make our own. Gonna stand on our feet. Take this direction. When we take on the world, all the diamonds and pearls couldn't take me away from your smile and your love. And I know you feel lost and you wanna give up. After every hardship comes ease, hardship comes ease. May Allah bless our way and our intention. Stay pure.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Imam Hussein rose up to proclaim the word of truth and save the people. November 27th, 2019. 2011. The story didn't just end in the afternoon of Ashura. In fact, since the afternoon of Ashura, a movement started in history which is still growing and expanding. It will be the same in the future too. Imam Hussein alayhi salam did all in his power to proclaim the word of truth and to save the people. These are some of the traits that a person in general can see and show in the Ashura event. The greatness of Zainab al-Kubra's movement is reflected in what is left of her sermons. Her unforgettable sermon in Kufa's marketplace was not just an ordinary speech. It was not just the personal opinion of an important figure. Her sermon was a great and beautifully worded analysis of the Islamic community's situation at that time. The sermon included the most profound Islamic concepts. See how strong her character was? Her brother, her imam and leader, had been martyred in a desert just 2 days before. Her dear ones, her children, and many other people had been martyred. She and tens of other women and children were taken captive on the same day. They were paraded in different places. Some of the people who were watching them were cheerful, and some were shedding tears. Zainab alayhi salam suddenly started her great mission in that critical situation. The lady who made the blood conquer the sword. April 21st, 2010. Zainab al-Kubra alayha salam is a prominent role model in history and shows the significance of a woman's presence in one of the most important events in human history. Blood gained a victory over the sword on the day of Ashura, and Zainab al-Kubra alayha salam was the cause of that victory. This was because the forces of righteousness were apparently defeated in a military fight in Karbala, but Zainab al-Kubra's behavior was the factor that turned this apparent defeat into a permanent and decisive victory. That victory was due to the role she played after the day of Ashura, but Zainab al-Kubra alayhi salam is a recent example and does not belong to ancient times. The story of her life is a tangible event. She played a brilliant role, making the enemies who had apparently won the battle and slain all their opponents feel humiliated in their own base. She branded them with permanent disgrace and turned their victory into a defeat.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear brother, dear sister, salam, and welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. Have you ever felt too far from God? Like you've messed up too much, fallen too deep, or drifted too long? Maybe you wonder, would God even want me back? If that's you, listen closely, because this message isn't from a scholar or preacher, it's from God himself. As narrated by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi in a hadith Qudsi, a sacred narration where God speaks directly but not in the Quran, he says, if someone comes one span closer to me, I come one cubit closer to him. If he comes one cubit closer, I come an arm's length. And if he comes to me walking, I come to him running. What a promise. Let's break that down. A span is the width of your hand. A cubit is from your elbow to your fingertips. A pace is just walking and running. That's God's way of saying, if you show me a little effort, I'll show you a lot of love. This is not about physical distance. God isn't far in space. He's close to our hearts, always. But he respects our choice to turn toward him. As soon as we lean in, he comes to us even faster, even greater. He doesn't wait coldly. He rushes with warmth and mercy. This hadith isn't just spiritually comforting. It's psychologically powerful. Modern psychology teaches us that hope is one of the strongest motivators for change. When people believe that even a small effort will lead to real results, they're more likely to keep going. But when we believe our actions are pointless, we give up. This hadith reminds us that every step counts, no matter how small. Even if your prayer is imperfect, even if your past is messy, even if you don't have the words, God doesn't need perfection. He responds to intention. Think of a child taking his first steps. They stumble, wobble, fall. But the parent doesn't wait until the child walks perfectly. They rush forward, arms open wide, celebrating the effort. That's the divine love this hadith describes. So don't wait for the perfect mood, the perfect plan, the perfect you. Just whisper a prayer. Just open the Quran, even if it's one verse. Just say, God, I miss you. And that's walking. And God is already running. So if you've been waiting for a sign to return to God, this is it. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin وآل محمد اللهم
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 25 meters, 11,710 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent. On FM, 91.5 megahertz for Iran. You can also listen to the English channel of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. You can also listen to the radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our radio quality and other means.
Good night to all of our listeners. This is Iran Radio. Greetings from Tehran. Very nice to have you with us. Today is Tuesday, 15th of July, 2025, corresponding to 24th of Tir 1404 on the Iranian solar calendar and 19th of Muharram 1447 on the Islamic lunar Hijri calendar. We start off this hour's programs with the Spotlight, a program which covers the most important events happening in the world today. After that, we have Viewpoints. The program presents an analytical roundtable discussion of various political and social issues of the Islamic world today. And our final program this hour is our varied radio productions feature.
Us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story. In
what is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.